Sairam, dear listeners, and in this week's segment, we will celebrate the eternal bond we have with our Lord through the verses of Gitanjali. You will also be listening to some beautiful songs composed by Rabindranath Tagore, which falls under the genre Rabindra Sangeet. And all these songs are taken from the album Sudha Sagar Shanthane. So this is Chandra Vijay, and you're listening to Love to Love. Gitanjali is a collection of poems by the Indian poet Rabindranath Tagore, which won Tagore the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1913. The word Gitanjali simply means an offering of songs. Each of these verses stand the test of time, and each time our reader immerses oneself in the love that it is, one comes out drenched and suffused with immaculate love for the Lord. So when I decided that I wanted to do a program on Gitanjali, the first thing I did was to talk to a Bengali family in Puttaparthi. His name is Sai Kaustubh. Every day you see his beautiful graphics on Radio Sai website. You can also read his story on the Radio Sai website by searching for Sai Kaustubh Das Gupta. Since they were from the state of West Bengal, where Rabindranath Tagore is from, I thought it would be great to talk to them as to why is Rabindranath Tagore and his music, which is called Rabindra Sangeet, so popular in Bengal. What is it that people find in his music that makes them fall in love with these songs? So, about a day ago, I went to Brother Sai Kaustubh's house with a portable recording device. And Brother Sai Kaustubh said that his brother would speak this on his behalf. And so here is Kushal Das Gupta, who is Sai Kaustubh Das Gupta's brother, who is studying in the 10th standard in Swami's Srimati Ishwarama High School in Puttaparthi. Here he is telling about Rabindra Sangeet and why is it so popular in the region of Bengal.
Rabindra Sangeet plays an important role in the life of all Bengali people. It is the soul, it is the voice of Bengal. The kind of music that Tagore has composed touches every heart and helps us to realize our true self. People from other parts of India and world may call Bengalis as a community crazy about Rabindranath Tagore. But anyone who can once taste the true flavor of his songs and poems is bound to become his fan. I am also a huge fan of Tagore and his songs. I truly believe that he is one of the greatest poets ever born on this earth. The lyrics of the songs in Gitanjali are full of rhythm and a beautiful blend of various shades of life and its color of metrical invention. His voice represents a tradition where poetry and religion are the same thing. He was a great philosopher and spiritualist. The unique beauty of the verses reflects his journey through many circumstances where he had find the true meaning of his life. His songs carries all the lyrics which intermingle and synthesize two important streams on contemplation. One represents the cry of the inner spirit to merge with the universal divine spirit, and the other relates to the universal brotherhood. His poetry, when merged with melody, produce wonderful effects on human minds, and this is the uniqueness of Rabindranath Sangeet. According to Rabindranath, music is the outcome of human emotions. So, instead of going into the details of theory, we should enjoy the peaceful effect of the union of words, melody and rhythm, all supporting each other and blending into a universal song. My brother Sai Kaustubh and my parents would like to sing one of the most favorite Rabindranath Sangeet, which signifies a universal song of heart in the rhythm of creation, the universal truth that exceeds all knowledge, which fills my heart with wonder, and I sing.
Akash bhara surya tara vishwa bhara pran tahari mathani ami pechi আমি পেয়েছি মোর স্থান বিষয়ে তাই জাগে জাগে আমার গান আকাশ ভরা অসীম কালে যে হিলে জোয়ার ভাটায় ভুবন দোলে নাইতে মোর রক্ত ধারায় ভেঙেছে তার টান বিস্ময়ে তাই জাগে জাগে আমার গান আকাশ ভরা ঘাসে ঘাসে পা ফেলেছি বনের পথে যেতে ফুলের গন্ধে চমক লেগে উঠেছে আছে মন মেতে, ছড়িয়ে আছে আনন্দের গান, বিষয়ে তাই জাগে জাগে আমার গান, কান পেতেছি চোখ মেলেছি ধরার বুকে, প্রাণ ঢেলেছি জানার মাঝে অজানারে, উড়েছি সন্ধান বিষয়ে তাই জাগে জাগে আমার গান, আকাশ
I know not how thou singest, my master. I ever listen in silent amazement. The light of thy music illumines the world. The life breath of thy music runs from sky to sky. The holy stream of thy music breaks through all stony obstacles and rushes on. My heart longs to join thy song, but vainly struggles for a voice. I would speak, but speech breaks not into a song, and I cry out baffled. Ah, thou hast made my heart captive. Thou hast made my heart captive in the endless meshes of thy music, my master.
प्रेम मुदित मन से कहो राम राम राम, राम राम राम, राम राम राम, राम राम राम। पकड़े दुख मिटे ले राम नाम, पकड़े दुख मिटे ले राम नाम, तव समुद्र सुख दनाव एक राम नाम, परम शांति सुख निदान दिव्य राम नाम, परम शांति सुख निदान दिव्य राम नाम, निराधार को आधार एक राम नाम, परम गोप्य परम दिव्य मंत्र राम नाम, परम गोप्य परम दिव्य मंत्र राम नाम, संत जन सदा बसत एक राम नाम, माता पिता बंधु सखा सब ही राम नाम, माता पिता बंधु सखा सब ही राम नाम, भक्त जन जीवन धन एक राम नाम, भक्त जन जीवन धन एक राम, Rama Rama Ram, Rama Rama Ram, Rama Rama Ram, Sri Rama Rama Ram. Rama Rama Ram, Rama Rama Ram, Rama Rama Ram, Sri Rama Rama Ram. प्रेम मुदित मन से कहो राम 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 श्री राम राम राम.
Chandu is asking me what is my opinion about the Gitanjali written by Rabindranath Tagore. There is no words to describe how beautiful a work this is. We all know what a deep person Rabindranath Tagore is, whatever his writings are, his dramatic works, his plays, the songs that he's written. But it is not surprising that somebody like Rabindranath Tagore got a Nobel Prize for this particular work called Gitanjali, because it's definitely the culmination of all that he has been able to produce. It's a brilliant work. I'm sure that ever since I've started reading something deep, I've always read Gitanjali. And never was it something which was boring or something which was not teaching anything. Every time you could go back to it and still come back learning something. And that's why Gitanjali is always special. Most of those poems there are have layers and layers of meaning. I think that's what makes them special, that over and over again you can go through it and still learn something new. But there are a few other poems which I think the very first time that you read, you kind of relate to it. It's very simple, but yet very profound. And it just becomes a part of your heart. I'm going to share one of those poems, which is very, very beautiful. And I don't know how many times I might have made this poem a part of my letter to Swami. And you will know why when we read it, because it beautifully encaptures all our feelings towards Swami. So first, let me read this poem. The poem goes thus. Pluck this little flower and take it. Delay not. I fear lest it droop and drop into the dust. I may not find a place in thy garland, but honor it with a touch of pain from thy hand and pluck it. I fear lest the day end before I am aware and the time of offering go by. Though its color be not deep and its smell be faint, use this flower in thy service and pluck it while there is time. This is that poem which I said is very, very dear to me. I don't know how many times I must have read it. You know, the beauty of this poem is, of course, the feeling of offering oneself to the Lord is the overpowering emotion in this. But the way it is portrayed, I think the beauty of Gitanjali and the wonder of Gitanjali is It is a medium for many of us who cannot put in such beautiful words our feelings towards Swami. And it fills me with so much wonder that how did somebody like Tagore manage to write a work such as this without living in the presence of someone like Swami. Because in this poem he says, you know, pluck this little flower and take it. Delay not. You know, there is a certain sense of urgency in our sense of offering to Swami. We are saying that, Swami, please take me fast. And especially when we were students, you know, we always used to feel that, you know, Swami, we are going to study only for 5 years. We're going to be students only for a few years. If you don't talk to me now, if you don't give me this opportunity to come close to you now, this time will pass away. You know, that urgency I find so beautifully portrayed in this poem. And then the feeling that I am not going to add anything more to Swami's mission or Swami's glory. Because he says that I may not be worthy of a place in your garland. But still take me, because it's not that I can add beauty to you, but just being an offering to you fulfills my life. And he goes on to say that, honor it with a touch of pain from thy hand and pluck it. I think these are really, really deep words, because we all know that no love comes without pain, and there is certain beauty in that pain. And this can be felt only with somebody who has had a very deep emotional connect with the Lord. And I'm sure Tagore is somebody who must have had some kind of a very deep experience. He might not have lived with somebody like Swami, but he definitely had a very deep connect with the divine, and that's what shows in this. And finally, again, he says that, you know, my color may not be too deep. I may not be as fragrant as the other flowers, but still take me because not because I'm worthy of your acceptance, but take me because that's all I want. This is a prayer, and out of your compassion you accept me. This is that poem from Gitanjali, which is my favorite, and I thank all of you for your patient listening. I thank Chandu for this opportunity to reflect on this beautiful poem. Thank you, Sai Ram. They try to hold me secure, who love me in this world. But it is otherwise with thy love, which is greater than theirs, and thou keepest me free. Lest I forget them, they never venture to leave me alone. But day passes by after day, and thou art not seen. If I call not thee in my prayers, if I keep not thee in my heart, thy love for me still waits for my love.
So here is this great story that I read some time ago, and the story goes thus. I once had a friend who grew to be very close to me. Once, when we were sitting at the edge of a swimming pool, my friend filled the palm of his hand with some water and held it before me and said, "You see this water carefully contained in my hand? It symbolizes love." Well, this is how I saw it. As long as you keep your hand caringly open and allow it to remain there, it will always be there. However, if you attempt to close your fingers around it and try to possess it, it will spill through the first crack it finds. This is the greatest mistake that people do when they meet love. They try to possess it. They demand, they expect, and just like the water spilling out of your hand, love will retrieve from you. For love is meant to be free. You cannot change its nature. If there are people you love, allow them to be free beings. Give and don't expect. Advise but don't order. Ask but never demand. It might sound simple, but it is a lesson that may take a lifetime to truly practice. It is the secret of true love. To truly practice it, you must sincerely feel no expectations from those who you love and yet feel an unconditional caring. For dear listeners, life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away.
Tomorrow. Sai Ram, I'm Karuna Munshi from Team Radio Sai, and Rabindranath Tagore's poem, Gitanjali, has been my favorite since I was a teenager because I found in Tagore's articulation stuff I had felt so deeply in my own consciousness but never had the ability to express it, leave alone so eloquently. There are many passages from the Gitanjali that I absolutely love. But if I had to pick just one favorite passage, it would be this one, and I quote Tagore, that I want thee, only thee, let my heart repeat without end. All desires that distract me day and night are false and empty to the core. As the night keeps hidden in its gloom the petition for light, even thus, in the depth of my unconsciousness rings the cry, I want thee, only thee. As the storm still seeks its end in peace, when it strikes against peace with all its might, even thus my rebellion strikes against thy love, and still its cry is, I want thee, only thee. Unquote. I just found that this passage, the three stanzas, communicate so much. They've almost become like a life mantra for me. They define the roadmap for my journey through this lifetime, because all I need to do is to remember and stay focused on what I want. Frequently, when my wants get scattered amongst different priorities, I don't succeed at anything. But if I stay clear and remember that I want only Bhagwan and no one but Bhagwan, because the deed there for me is the Lord Himself, with single-pointed focus, with lots of intensity, and I follow my personal discipline to repeatedly stay on course in order to seek my true beloved, my Lord, myself, in my divine splendor. In that sense, this stanza for me becomes my GPS. It's my radar. It points me to my goal. It keeps me from getting distracted by things that are in my peripheral vision. So I, like the bull's eye, I'm only focused on what I want, and when I want what I want, everything else gets added to me. It doesn't always happen in my time, it happens in God's time, but I just have to remember that I only want Swami, nothing and nobody but Swami, and the universe takes care of everything else I find. So that's the first part that I love. I want thee, only thee, let my heart repeat without end. All desires that distract me day and night are false and empty to the core. Now the second stanza, as the night keeps hidden in its gloom the petition for light, even thus in the depth of my unconsciousness rings the cry, I want thee, only thee. And this is what I find deep down. My soul only desires that. My mind may get distracted by things which are very superficial and superfluous, but in my heart, in my soul, in my unconsciousness from I do not know how many births as a human being and many others that I took to get to become a human being through my evolutionary process, this has been the cry of not only my soul but everybody's soul. Whole creation is longing for only that union with God, that consummation of which leads to the oneness and which leads to the realization that each one of us is God. That's what Swami spent his entire lifetime reminding us. So I think that unconsciousness, even in my dreams, even in my fantasy, the cry should always remain that I want thee and no one else except thee, my dear Lord. And that's why I think, again, Tagore gets a Nobel Prize for just this one stanza from me. And finally, he says, as the storm seeks its end in peace, even when it strikes against peace with all its might, even thus my rebellion strikes against thy love, and still its cry is, I want thee, only thee. This pretty much sums up the relationship of many people like myself with Swami, because I came to Swami as a teenager with a lot of angst, and there were many moments when I rebelled against him. And the harder I tried to get mad at him, you know, my my relationship I can speak of with God has been a very rocky, stormy one. It's always on an emotional roller coaster, and the only person in the universe I can afford to get upset with without too many repercussions is Swami, is my dearest Lord. Everything else in life, you have to walk on eggshells. But there has to be somebody in your life against whom you can rebel and know very well that you're only doing it out of love, and that person is never going to misunderstand you and punish you. So for me, Swami is that person, and I've always rebelled against him as a teenager, and I'm now very far from my teenage, but I still rebel against him. And I only rebel, and still the cry remains. I want the only thee. Oh, I wish I had the eloquence of Tagore to see it. So I love to borrow his lines and to say my ode to the love of my life. His name is Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Thank you, Sai Ram.
নিকেতনে হৃদয় নন
This is my prayer to thee, my Lord. Strike, strike at the root of penury in my heart. Give me the strength lightly to bear my joys and sorrows. Give me the strength to make my love fruitful in service. Give me the strength never to disown the poor or bend my knees before insolent might. Give me the strength to raise my mind high above the daily trifles. And give me the strength to surrender my strength to thy will with love.
I had gone a-begging from door to door in the village path, when thy golden chariot appeared in the distance like a gorgeous dream, and I wondered who was this king of all kings. My hopes rose high and methought my evil days were at end, and I stood waiting for alms to be given unasked and for wealth scattered on all sides in the dust. The chariot stopped where I stood. Thy glance fell on me, and thou camest down with a smile. I felt that the luck of my life had come at last. Then of a sudden, thou didst hold out thy right hand and say, "What hast thou to give to me?" Ha! What a kingly jest was it to open thy palm to a beggar to beg? I was confused and stood undecided, and then from my wallet I slowly took out the least little grain of corn and gave it to thee. But how great my surprise when at the day's end I emptied my bag on the floor to find a least little grain of gold among the poor heap. I bitterly wept and wished that I had had the heart to give thee my all.
It is not as if I have read all the verses of the Gitanjali, but every time I have read the Gitanjali, I can say this with confidence that of the dozen times when I have read the Gitanjali, every time I have read this particular verse, because I feel it is so beautiful and pregnant with meaning, and it describes the human condition so perfectly. It is so easy to feel kinship with that person there waiting for the emperor to arrive. Our relationship with God is almost like that. We are facing so many troubles in our lives. We have our own troubles, be it in relationships, be it financial, be it academic, be it career, whatever, medical. And we look to God to come and solve all these problems. And that is why, Swami says, miracles are my calling cards. Very often we get this introductory calling card from God and we get so thrilled. It is akin to the sight that the person in the poem beholds. He sees in the horizon the golden chariot with the emperor coming towards him. That majestic sight in itself, it's like a miracle, the sight of which will make you feel that today my problems are going to end because the Lord has come into my life. So that is the introduction. That is how mostly we get introduced to God. But then, again, the poem so beautifully describes how God seems to come and ask something from us. It almost looks like, look at history. Everybody who is considered as a great devotee of the Lord, it looks like they had so much suffering. You take Mirabai or Tyagaraja. Of course, they took the Lord's name and they were lost in the Lord. They were great devotees of the Lord. But what did they get? They don't seem to have had any material success. Same way you see Prahallada, Dhruva. They're fantastic to show the extent of God's grace. But at times, we foolishly think that they were scapegoats for God to show what His grace can do. Because they didn't seem to have any success, worldly-wise. That is what happens to the person in this poem also. He says, what kingly jest is this, he says, to the emperor, who instead of giving him something, comes and asks him. This is what we feel of God also. Lord, you are the owner of everything. You have everything more than me and you are asking me who I am already deprived of. I am deprived and yet you want me to sacrifice. And there are some who feel that they are not ready to do the sacrifice. While there are some others who seem to take pride in making a sacrifice and saying, I did a sacrifice for the Lord. They feel like a great martyr or, a kind of false pride because it is a myth that anybody sacrifices for the Lord. That becomes evident towards the end of the verse where he says that whatever little he gave, the emperor had returned it a millionfold. One small grain of corn had become one small golden grain of corn. And this is something that I have personally experienced in life. Let me confess, when I completed my education here, I definitely wanted to stay back here because God is addictive. I don't think anything in the universe can be more addictive than God. I wanted to be with Swami. But, I had so many desires. I wanted to get married. I wanted to go across the country, go around the world, if possible. I wanted to have money. I had all these desires that any person will normally have. And I remember, after I had got my appointment, I saw that my salary would no way be able to support all this. So I remember sitting in front of Bhagwan's picture and telling him, Swami, I would like to get married. I would love to have money. I would love to travel the world. And I expressed all my desires to him. And then I again, like the foolish pride that comes from being a martyr, I told Swami, but Swami, more than all this, I love you more. And therefore, Swami, for your sake, I'm sacrificing all this. Today is almost 8 years since the day I spoke in that manner to Swami. And when I look back, really I have tears in my eyes. Those are tears of shame and tears of gratitude. Tears of shame because I thought that I am some great hero giving up things for Swami. And there are tears of gratitude because today when I look back at my life in the last 8 years, I have received all of this. I am happily married. I have no financial worries at all. I have gone in many places in the country, to quite some parts of the world, and my life is looking so beautiful. And I'm just so grateful, I almost feel like falling on my knees and telling Swami, Swami, thank you so much that you made me choose you. Because in choosing you, I have chosen everything else that I ever would have desired in my life. That is what has happened. And that is why this poem in the Gitanjali always strikes a beautiful chord in my heart, because I personally feel like the person there. I personally feel like the person asking such questions of God. And I personally feel blessed like that person having received that gold. And I share the same inspiration with which he concludes the poem. I wish that I had the heart to give thee my all. even to this day, that is my prayer. Swami, please let me have the heart to give you my all.
তার মধু কেন মন মধুকে খাওয়াও না নিত্য তোমার যে ফুল ফোটে ফুল বনে নিত্য সভা বসে তোমার প্রাঙ্গণে তোমার ভৃত্যের সে সভা যে ফুল ফোটে ফুল বনে তোমার
My desires are many and my cry is pitiful. But ever didst thou save me by hard refusals. And this strong mercy has been wrought into my life through and through. Day by day thou art making me worthy of the simple, great gifts that thou givest to me unasked. This sky and the light, this body and the life, and the mind, saving me from perils of overmuch desire. There are times when I languidly linger, and times when I awaken and hurry in search of my goal. But cruelly thou hidest thyself from me.
I was very keen to be a forgie. And Swami also, on many occasions, used to keep mentioning that, Gopal, yes, you must join the army. Then what had happened is, there were times that he would say, Gopal, why don't you join the foreign services? You know, my boy should actually go out and be an ambassador of Sai, and you can be an ambassador for the country. Then at some point of time, he would say, Tumne kya kiya hai? And I would say, I've done commerce. So I would say, oh, then you will do business. Then he would look at me and turn around and say, listen, business, you really got to be ruthless. Oh, I don't think, you might have eternal losses. Okay, so now all these different things which sounded so contradicting to each other were going on in my mind. That what am I supposed to do? So the setting was that I was probably the youngest to be taken to Kodaikanal along with the rest of the MBA students. And Swami had emerged from his room. He was walking down the staircase, and that's where, as I went, knelt down and I asked Swami, that Swami, please guide me as to what I am supposed to do in life. At that point of time, all our Sai brothers were so understanding that everybody disappeared in the shadows. So that landing on the staircase became my interview room. And, but as I wasn't expecting this, words just spilled out in a manner which were not very coherent in front of Swami. And it somewhat sounded like this. You saw me, one day you say, join the army. Next time you are saying, do foreign service. And kabhi you turn around and say, business karo. Then you are saying, it will be an eternal loss. So, and I almost told him, for heaven's sake, stop changing. Tell me, what am I supposed to do? And Swami's answer was wonderful. He said, Gopal, you keep thinking you want to join the army, I'm a mirror. So I reflected back to you, join the army. And you thought that, you know, there's a lot of corruption in the world and it needs some people, an army invite to go out and set it right. And I said, okay, you join the foreign service. Then because of your background in commerce, you come up with some brainwave schemes about commerce. I reflect that back to you. But I know that you are not geared for it. So when you aren't thinking about it, I tell you that, listen, you can do business, but profits are not up your sleeve. So then Swami, I asked Swami, to Swami, at that rate, I'll really be destroyed because I'll keep changing. And if you keep reflecting it back to me, where will I finally get an answer from you? But then he said, stop thinking. If you stop thinking, then I have nothing to reflect. Then, in the absolute, he said, just now they are murky waters, but if it is transparent waters, then I will reflect the true sight back to you. Then I will tell you what to do. Incidentally, I have been told now, almost a decade and a half later, and it is so different from the field of killing that I wanted to join the army, to almost the field of putting up a resort in alternate medicines and spirituality, from killing to healing has been my journey with Sai. Yes, it's a long thing, but it took me long number of years, even after I had passed out, before I could stop thinking and be blank. I almost had to endeavor in every field and come back drawing a blank before I learned my lesson the hard way.
When thou commandest me to sing, it seems that my heart would break with pride, and I look to thy face and tears come to my eyes. All that is harsh and dissonant in my life melts into one sweet harmony, and my adoration spread wings like a glad bird on its flight across the sea. I know thou takest pleasure in my singing. I know that only as a singer I come before thy presence. I touch by the edge of the far-spreading wing of my song thy feet, which I could never aspire to reach. Drunk with the joy of singing, I forget myself and call thee friend, who art my Lord.
In 2005 November, Swami called us one day, me and Om Prasad, and told, you both sing today. Then we both were like, we didn't know what to sing, but yeah, we were both supposed to sing something that day. You know, we came and sat and we sang Ram Katha. Then Swami was upset about something. I don't know what he was upset about, but he was definitely upset about something. So I didn't know what to do, and Swami went inside and he stopped speaking to me from November 7th, 2005, I remember, till April April 6th, 7th. Swami was going on April 9th, 2006 to Kodai. And I definitely knew Swami is not going to take me. He's not speaking to me one word also. Then on April 8th, 2006, I was sitting in Bhajan Hall at the end of Bhajan Hall. There were very few boys in Bhajan Hall, and that was morning. One of the boys came to me and told, "You sit in front. Swami is telling you to sit in front." Me, I was like, exact, this was the expression. Are you mistaken? Something like this. Then he said, "No, it's you. Your name is Sai Krishna, right? Swami is telling you to sit." I sat. Swami selected so many boys personally. That year especially, he called by names people and selected. But then he never looked at me. He looked through me all while. Then I went and sat in the flight that April 9th morning, because April 8th was what? I didn't even have time to have haircut. I went and sat, and Swami, even when he came in flight, he was very angry with me. That's what it showed up on his face.
Apparently.
Yeah, never Swami is angry. He shows it for a purpose. Then I just thought, Swami, if you really don't want, please open this window, I'll jump out. That's kind of feeling I got. We went to Kodai. First 2 days, Swami used to ask everybody to sing, but not me. Everybody else used to sing, and not me. Then I was like, really, it was painful. 10 singers are there, and 9 are asked to sing, and 10th one is told not to sing. It's like almost like that. Then one morning, I was just singing a bhajan. Swami came to me and said, "Why this fellow is singing? Take out the mic." That happened, and somehow I finished the bhajan in a hurry. I just finished the bhajan, and I was in tears actually. Then after the bhajan session, we came inside and Swami started talking about love, about things like that. And he asked one boy one question. Swami told, when Swami doesn't speak to boys, they think Swami is punishing them. But it's not that. It is a test. It's just like this, when a river wants to merge in the sea, it doesn't simply allow to merge. It relents, sea relents. Then after repeated trying, sea comes up and river goes down. That's when it all becomes one big unified body. In that way only, God also wants to test you. You should not give up. You should pray, you should fight with God to get there, to win a place. It's hard. I thought it is for me because all others were on right plane and I was not. I thought maybe this is what Swami is telling, pray. That day evening, Swami came in the session. He asked, as usual, everybody else to sing, not me. Then Swami asked, who else will sing? That was the tone. Okay. Then I said, Swami, with all the effort and courage, because if it is a wrong timing, means if he decided that it's a wrong timing, then definitely it's a wrong timing. I just meekly told Swami, I want to sing a Telugu song. Swami looked at me, you want to sing? This is how Swami asked me, because he was trying to really discipline me, okay, and for something, I don't know. Then I started singing a song. Maybe that clip I'll give you. I cannot sing with that emotion now, maybe. But okay, that,
so
yeah,
recording of that,
that recording of that clip I'll give you. After singing 4 lines, I just broke down. Because that was the communication I was having with my friend, with my mother, with my father. Because he didn't speak to me for 7 months. It was really painful to the core. Cannot tell you how painful. So I sang and I broke down after 3 or 4 lines. And you look at Swami, and Swami also broke down. And he said, Papam Dukkam, meaning Papam, he's feeling sad.
Unistama Priyamaina Bandhama Prema Purupama Mandari Pranama Unistama Priyamaina Bandhama Prema Kurupama Mandari Pranama Unistama.
where the mind is without fear and the head is held high, where knowledge is free, where the world has not been broken up into fragments by narrow domestic walls, where words come out from the depth of truth, where tireless striving stretches its arms towards perfection, where the clear stream of reason has not lost its way into the dreary desert sand of dead habit, where the mind is led forward by Thee into ever-widening thought and action, into that heaven of freedom, my Father, let my country awake.
Thank you. कीते ओहे कोनी को आलोक आखिरो पालोक तुम्हार जबे आई देखीते ओहे हाराई हाराई सदा होय भय हाराई हाराई सदा होय भय हाराई अपने चुकीते आखिते आखिते ओहे एत प्रेम आमी कोथा पाबो नाथ एत प्रेम आमी कोथा पाबो नाथ तुमारे हृदये राखिते आमार साध
Oh,